started out by talking about a God who, from the beginning of time, wanted to have a family. And he wanted that with you. And from all the way back, from today all the way back, we've kind of messed that up. We've talked about a lot of great things. Love, grace, all these things sound great. They sound wonderful. And you know, on one side of the question, on one side of the equation, you want to believe it and you want to say, oh yeah, Pastor Jay, I just, you know, yes, I agree with you. Amen, brother. On the flip side of that, if you were on board last Sunday, praise God for you. And if you were ready to take the challenge and go forward, praise God for you. If you were challenged last week and a little angry, then I'm going to ask you to take another look. Why? Because, as Paul Harvey said, I'm not to the rest of the story yet. So stick around. We will get there. Jesus came full of grace and truth. And because of that, he showed us the way. He presents a few ideas. First of all, unconditional love. Now, we can get, this is something that we have a hard time getting our hands around. Okay? Even Peter said, oh, I love you like a friend. But we have a hard time with it. Okay? So, what is really love? What is really grace? What is really truth? So we have to look at these things. And we have to talk about the meat and potatoes of Christianity. A lot of people get things. If you're a parent, you always buy things for your kids. And you get them home. They're in a box. They have a picture on the box. And it's a beautiful picture, whatever it is. And the dad pulls out the box, and there are 1,000 pieces. And it says, some assembly required. Do you feel like a some assembly required Christian today? I do. Do you get more frustrated than you are happy about being a Christian? I do. I'm being real with you. There are days when I'm like, man, it'd be so easy to be a sinner. It'd be so easy to just go all off the other way. You know? Sometimes it even appears like you'd have peace if you went that way. But as I've heard before, that's not the right kind of peace. So, some assembly required. You're trying to fit slot A into slot B, you know? And if I could have picked up a phone and say, hey, Dave Grimard, can you come over and help me figure this mechanical piece of thing out, you know? Help me, okay? And because we need help. And that's what life is about. Today we're going to talk about forgiveness being the first step of grace. And we see in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness was. So God is looking at this, and he is seeing this. He says in 5 and 28, when Lamech had lived 182 years, he had a son. He named him Noah and said, he will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed. Today I've picked a movie plot in order to build a message around. So you have to bear with me. The movie is called Fireproof. And we are going to talk about grace and the power of forgiveness. And I want you to watch this first video clip very, very closely. Pay attention to it because, believe it or not, it's my favorite piece of the whole movie. And I'll tell you why in a little bit, but you'll really like it. But pay real close attention to it, okay, as we dive in.
All right, sweet pea, it's time for you to go to bed.
Mommy, would you ask Daddy to come tuck me in?
No, he's at work tonight at the fire station, but he'll be home tomorrow night.
Mommy, I want to marry Daddy.
You do? Catherine, you can't marry Daddy. He's my husband.
Well, when you're done being married, can I have him?
We'll never be done. You'll have to marry somebody else.
Can I wear a white dress and white gloves?
Sure, if you want to.
Will we live happily after ever?
Mm-hmm. If you marry somebody who really, really loves you.
Like Daddy.
Yes, like Daddy.
When And Lamech had lived 182 years. He had a son. He named him Noah and said, "He will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed." Genesis 6 and 5. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth and saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. And the Lord said, "I will wipe this human race I've created from the face of the earth. Yes, I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the history of the generations of Noah. Noah was a just and righteous man, blameless in his evil generation. Noah walked in habitual fellowship with God. The movie starts out with a mother and a little girl. And it starts out, and she adores her daddy. "Can daddy come and tuck me in?" she says. "Will we live happily after ever?" "Yes. If you marry somebody that really, really loves you, like daddy, yes, like daddy." See, we come into this world really honestly believing that once upon a time there was. And we honestly believe that, you know what? Someone will come and rescue our hearts. And someone will take us home. And someone will love us and treat us well and care for us. And somebody will be that. And we honestly believe we will live happily after ever. And because we believe that, and trust me, that comes from God. But along the way, you notice at the beginning it said 25 years ago. Along the way, 20, 25, 30, 40 years, all of a sudden, you have people that are scarred and frail and hurt and wounded. And these people walk not in, "Well, I want to believe that's true." They walk in, "That's not true. And I dare anybody to tell me that it is true. And I get angry if you tell me it is true." Why? Because they had an experience where they weren't loved when they should have been loved. They were mistreated instead of being treated the way God intended. We all, if could tell our stories today, have a story. And because of that, from us all the way back to the first family, have this problem we call dysfunctionalism. And we, if we're not careful, we'll identify the family as what you see on Jerry Springer or any other television daytime show, or any other talk show, or any other story in the news. And before you know it, you'll start seeing trends and start looking at whatever, and you'll say, "You know what, I'm going to be just like that because my daddy was that way, my grandfather was that way, or this or that." And before you know it, you'd rather believe what you think is reality rather than what was really true from the very beginning. So do you see why truth can be scarred? Because it really matters what your truth is. And it doesn't matter, is it real grace rather than cheap grace? Yes. Because if it's not full of Jesus Christ, it is not the real McCoy. Amen. And so all of a sudden, we have messed up man. And God sends a man by the name of Noah, who, by the way, is a type of shadow of Jesus Christ, to reach a people to tell them to get ready. Get your act straightened up. Judgment's coming. It's going to rain. Yeah, right. I've heard that one before. It's never rained. I may be telling you things you've never really dreamed that could be possible. I may be telling you things as we are preparing the future of God for this place and Manchester. I may be telling you things that you don't buy and you've never seen it before. But trust me, my friend, when Noah was saying to the people that it's going to rain, they didn't believe it because they've never experienced it. And you can never take somewhere where you've never been before. Except for this one man. He believed, though he had never been there. When Joshua said, get ready, in 3 days we're getting ready to go to the other side, and you're going somewhere you've never been before, take in mind, Joshua had already been there. When Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt into a land, to the land, through the wilderness, he had been there a few years. And do not be mistaken. Just because I came in a truck and I dress up okay, clean up real well, as they call the South. Please do not mistake my few gray hairs that I've not been around the mountain a few times and that I am not the called, sent man by God to lead you and all of his people out of the bondage you've been in. And if you don't believe it, I'm asking you to stick around for a little while and just watch. I'm asking you to, for a season, be silent and watch God work and allow him to change your mind and to change your heart and allow him to change your direction and change your ways. Because what is not possible with man is possible with God. Amen. And what you've never seen before doesn't mean God can't do it. I remember a prophet standing in front of a bunch of ungodly people, and they were all cutting themselves, saying, crying out to their gods. And here was a man by the name of Elijah, and again said, it's not going to rain. At my word, it will not rain. And then at my word, it will rain. In the King James, there's a very beautiful phrase. He tells the man to go up on the mountain. He said, you're going to see, it's coming. He said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. I don't see anything. I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And before you knew it, it was there. Why? Because he believed. He believed. And Noah was counted right because he believed. And grace stepped in because he was willing to walk with him. And out of this hurting, aching God's heart, God was willing to find one man and not wipe out everything. Why? Because he still wanted to believe. Because he's God. And he never gives up. And he is love, where you and I fail at the concept of love. So number one, we have to discover that our pain reveals our need for grace. Number one, our pain reveals our need for grace. You and I are here today because we have walked through some pain. You and I are here today because we walked through challenges. You and I are here today because God has brought our feet along this trail. We're not here just because we needed to kill some time in our life. You and I are here because of a God-orchestrated moment, a God-orchestrated season, and a God-orchestrated plan. And God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And if he can use a donkey to speak, he can use me. I found it something that an untamed colt, wild, was used for Jesus to ride on. He was the only thing usable in that moment. Lord, help us. We need the help of Christ. Christ has a plan for us. So number one, grace, our pain reveals our need for grace. Number two, grace reveals our need for confession. Number two, grace reveals our need for confession. In the movie Fireproof, it starts out with a mother and a daughter 25 years ago. The daughter obviously grows up and she looks for a man just like Daddy. And she finds a man like Daddy in the way that he is a captain of a fire department. And they get married. You know where it's going right away. So after 7 years, trouble hits River City. And they experience challenges. Instead of being in love and on purpose, hearts begin to drift. She works for hospital, public relations. He's a captain of fire department. He goes out and saves lives every day. Finds that he's a hero to everybody but his wife. But yet he has forgotten how, or maybe never really found it, how to win the heart of his wife. Both sides of the equation don't really know what to make a marriage work. And before you know it, we're different, and our differences become very front page, and all of a sudden, everything outside seems to be more tractable. And peace, not the right kind of peace, is desirable. And you're willing to fight for that more than you're really willing to fight for each other. And so here we are in the midst of all kinds of things. Selfishness gets in the way. He raises money, you know, he's saving his money for a boat, you know. We all have things, you know. He wants to accomplish certain things in life. And in America, isn't it, you know, what's the American dream? They say, two cars, a big house, two children, you know, dogs or cats, whatever you prefer. And, you know, all kinds of things. And that's the American dream. But yet, they've asked a lot of people who've won lots of money what their, after they won, how happy they really were, and they really weren't that happy. You know, all of a sudden their family come out of the woodwork. Oh, you're my friend. Okay. Yeah, exactly. See what I mean? You want to find out if someone really loves you, just wait until after you depart. You know, all of a sudden everybody shows up, if you have anything. See? That's not American dream. That's not love. That's not what we're after. That's not what Christ died and rose again for. It's not what he embodies. And see, every family relationship, from us all the way back to Adam, experiences these things one at a time or another. And I'm convinced that it's not that we were with the wrong mate. I'm not convinced that it was because we did all the wrong things, though we can examine that, explore that, and let God deal with that, and we can confess that and move on. I am convinced that we just never really knew how to fit slot A into slot B. And if we could call someone, Dave Grimard, come and help me here, we would. Why? Because we need help. We do not know how to love. We do not know how to treat. We do not know how. We have concepts of, but do we really do these things? We talk about grace. Well, it's by faith through grace, yes. Grace is an action. Okay, well, I don't understand that. If it's an action, then how come it's really... I know people are waiting for me to preach grace that gives a license to live like the world. And that's not what I'm about. But see, if you live grace only, then it's a license to whatever. If it's truth only, you get caught into the world of legalism and all about rules and, you know, doing this thing and that thing and so forth. So we got to be careful. He came full of grace and truth, embodied in love, unconditional. And so when we see these at work, here's what I see. You want to know how to love and how to be? There are some things in the Bible called one another's. Now, you may have never discovered them. We're going to start today as we uncover these one another's. In the Bible, there are lots of things that are to do. A lot of people think, well, if I can just stay away from the do nots, I'll be okay. Did you know you can never be empowered to not do if you never really know how to do? That was real confusing, wasn't it? You could never be empowered to not do if you never know how to do. Well, how do you learn how to do? Love one another. Forgive one another. Accept one another, honor one another, all these things. Say, we never know how. And God's Word teaches us. And we're going to walk through discovering and exploring. See, we can explore grace, and that's wonderful. And the one box that's open opens the other side of the equation. Now we have to explore us. That's the hard work. I've got to explore me. I got to find out who I really am. Well, who am I really? Apart from Christ, I'm a pretty sinful, ugly creature. Now, you probably want to hear that. You too. We're on the same boat. And if Christ is not sailing this boat, we're going down deep. And there's no hope. And you have to have a proper assessment of who you really are apart from Christ. Now again, don't beat yourself up in guilt and shame. Again, that's not from the proper perspective. Not just, you know, beating yourself up. You can beat yourself up and all you're doing is abusing yourself. You know, that's what depression is. Anger turned inward. Do you see what I'm getting at? The most prescribed drug in America is antidepressants. What are we doing? We're abusing ourselves. Why? Because we'd rather do that than go out and abuse somebody else. Well, then what happens when we can't abuse ourselves anymore? We start abusing other people. What do we do that? Emotional, mental, physical. Psychologists will tell you all day long. Did it start with physical abuse? No, it started with depression a long time ago. It started probably with neglect and abuse from their childhood. Do you get the picture? It started 25 years ago when we dreamed of finding somebody just like Daddy. And along the way, we never found Daddy. And along the way, we never found someone just like him, if that was good. And if we did not have something good, then you know what? There was no hope for anything. So we tried to wrap ourselves and find our identity in whatever, feeling empty every time we went wherever we went. And so the hole that you have in your heart was created by God and can only be filled by God. All right? So here we have this picture of Caleb and they have gone, you know, they're splitting if not careful. And here we have Caleb who has been engaged by his father. His father says, "Son, will you not give up on me?" He said, "I got something I'm going to send you, and it's going to take you 40 days to get through it." And he said, "If you'll take one day at a time and not give up, don't give up before 40 days." And he was already ready to give up, but he said, "Do it for me, your father." So he sent him something called The Love Dare, and I forgot to mention in the first service, yes, it's a real book. Yes, it's inspired by real people like you and me. And yes, it comes straight from the Bible, believe it or not. And this movie, did you know, is produced by a church? Why? Because they knew a majority of Christians never go to church. They knew a majority of people go to the movie house. So they said, if we can reach the 20s and 30s something, how can we do that? Through movies. They started with Flywheel, but I never heard of it, and get a Blockbuster. Then they went to Facing the Giants. Great movie. Awesome movie. You know, kids like that one. And then you get to this one, and you know, it's more adult, but this is awesome too. This is good whether you're married or not, because it'll tell you what love is. You already know what love isn't. You've already figured that out. Now begin the journey of taking the dare. And I'm going to ask you to do it as a church. I'm going to ask you to do it. Go down to your local Christian bookstore. By the way, just so you know, Morningstar Christian Bookstore is getting ready to close their doors and move out of town if somebody don't do something about it. Why? Because Christian consumers drive Christian markets. Never gone to a city, a Christian bookstore closed down and moved away. They have more than one Christian bookstore. They're all over the place. Well, why is it not making it here? If there's not Christian consumers buying Christian things at a Christian bookstore, then you can imagine we need more Christians here. Good assessment, isn't it? So you can help them by going and getting the Love Dare. Number two, you can help us by applying it. Number three, we can help the world by showing it and being it. Amen. You follow me? That's what God's doing here. It's not just about changing things we don't like changed. It's about life transformation. Christ is about life transformation. And in this scene, you're going to see Caleb, who is ready to confess. Number two, grace reveals our need for confession. All right? Let's watch this clip. As we see grace being worked out, we see relationships begin to take some shape.
Here. You think you can take this?
Why are you doing this?
I have learned you never leave your partner. Especially in a fire.
Caleb, what's happened to you?
Dad asked me if there was anything in me that wanted to save our marriage. and then he gave me something. I could let you read it.
Was it this?
How long have you known?
I found it yesterday. So what day are you on?
43.
There's only 40.
Who says I have to stop?
Caleb, I don't know how to process this. This is not normal for you.
Welcome to the new normal.
You didn't want to do this at first, did you?
No. But halfway through, I realized that I did not understand what love was. And once I understood that, I wanted to do it.
Caleb, I want to believe that this is real. But I'm not ready to say that I trust you again.
I understand that. But whether you ever reach that point or not, I need you to understand something. I am sorry. I have been so selfish. For the past 7 years, I have trampled on you with my words and with my actions. I have loved other things when I should have loved you. In the last few weeks, God has given me a love for you that I have never had before. And I have asked him to forgive me. And I am hoping, I am praying that somehow you would be able to forgive me too. Catherine, I do not want to live the rest of my life without you.
Caleb, I'm supposed to give those divorce papers to my lawyer next week. I need some time to think.
You can have all the time you need.
So number one, our pain reveals our need for grace. Number two, grace reveals our need for confession. And number three, grace reveals our need to be forgiven and our responsibility to forgive. In Colossians 3 and 12 it says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And always be thankful. 1 Corinthians talks about love. Everybody knows it's the love chapter. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not selfish. And love is thoughtful. Love is not rude. Love is not irritable. Love believes the best. Love is not jealous. Love makes good impressions. Love is unconditional. Love cherishes. Love loves the other to win. Love fights fair. Love takes delight. Love is honorable. Love intercedes. Love promotes intimacy. Love seeks to understand. Love is impossible. Love is Jesus Christ. Love is satisfied in God. Love is faithful. Love always protects. Love is not lust. Love forgives. Love is responsible. Love encourages. Love makes sacrifices. Love is motivational. Love brings unity. Love empowers. Love celebrates godliness. Love is accountable. Love is God's word. Love agrees in prayer. Love fulfills dream. Love endures. Most of all, love is a covenant. Last week I came off pretty strong, and some were really excited, and some came to me and thought I was a little harsh. And I, for that, ask you to forgive me if you took that any way that was not meant by an opposite of God. See, you have to understand how I came to know Jesus Christ. When I was a little boy, I was 6 years old, my father was a pastor. My mother was my first teacher. So all I remember hearing is of God. We moved to a new community. And as anyone in a new community, a kid wants to belong, right? So I wanted to have friends. I was an only child at the time. And so I went out to find friends in the neighborhood. We were in a community where Caucasian wasn't the majority. And so it was a little difficult. Came across these guys, and I was all the age of 6. And I said, hey, I want to join your club. You do? Yeah. Well, you got to do something bad to be in our club. Okay. Now, you have to imagine what a 6-year-old raised in a godly home could think of. Now, I'm sure I could think of a bunch of stuff, but my parents had laid a foundation of speech that you couldn't say anything that was remotely negative or remotely anything that sounded like God. So, you couldn't pull a Leave It to Beaver out, okay? I mean, you could watch it, but, you know, I couldn't imitate him. Golly gee whiz, you know, I mean, violated the rule of my house. Golly sounded a whole lot like God. And so, I lived under that rule. So, in my mind, I thought of something really bad, and here's what I came out with. And with all my 6-year-old might and heart, and with all of my rebellion, I said, shoot. Now, and I was happy about it because I belong. And I was in. And I'm walking, skipping along, happy-go-lucky, on through the alley to go back home. And I heard from the Lord. The very first time I'd ever heard his voice. And here's what he said to me. You broke my heart. I'd never heard from God in my life. What do I do? You need to be saved. So I went to my mom, who in turn, immediately, dad's in the other room, so, you know, I go to my parents, basically. I heard from God. Heard from the Lord. What did he say? I need to get saved. So they sit down with me. I had a very real experience with God. I came heart to heart with the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I read about Paul, the Saul, I know exactly how he feels. Now, thankfully, I wasn't blind or physically impaired, but I came face to face with Jesus Christ. So when I shared the word last week, and you kids, you need to know, it wasn't the word. You see, I dishonored my parents. And God cares about those things. And because I dishonored my parents, I was dishonoring my Lord. Because as long as you are under the authority of your parents, you are under the authority of the Lord, under them. And what they say, you need to honor. Though you don't understand it, though you disagree with it. The day will come when you are totally under the authority of the Lord. And the tables will turn. And your parents will have to trust the Lord with you. And boy, will it be hard. And you are going to reverse the role and raise children yourself and find out, going around turning off all the lights, you're turning into your dad. See, but if I did, please forgive me. So here we have Caleb, we have his wife, Catherine. And here she is not ready to forgive. You see? He is confessing, he sees right, she is not ready. And then, after a series of weeks, all of a sudden, you see her, God began to do a work in her heart. And God begins to transform her life. And we will end with this video clip. Watch this one.
Hello, Mrs. Holt. How are you today?
Fine, thanks.
I hope your parents are doing well.
I'll tell you what, that new bed and wheelchair is certainly helping.
I'm so glad. Well, what can I do for you today?
You know, I just need to pick up a few linens for the hospital bed for my mom.
Sure, we have some in stock.
Great. That's about the only thing that wasn't covered by the doctor when he purchased that bed and wheelchair.
The doctor?
Yes, Dr. Keller, our secret philanthropist.
I don't think Dr. Keller covered those things.
No, I'm sure he did. I spoke with him about it.
Mrs. Holt, if I remember correctly, $24,300 was given for the bed and wheelchair, but Dr. Keller was not the main giver.
What?
Of the amount given, Dr. Keller gave $300.
Then who gave the other?
Your husband, Caleb. He came in about 2 weeks ago and paid for everything. I assumed you knew.
2 weeks ago?
Yes, he told me not to tell anyone, but I didn't think that included you. It was the Tuesday before last. He called and asked what the price of a particular bed and wheelchair were, and I looked it up.
Okay, explain Recio.
You ain't gonna get it. Rescue, exposure, containment, extinguish.
Captain, can I see you for a minute?
Right now?
Yes, sir.
Something wrong?
Catherine's in the bay.
My Catherine?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Catherine?
If I haven't told you that you are a good man, you are. And if I haven't told you that I've forgiven you, I have.
To see here.
Wow, what's going on?
Go back to your business. Caleb's in there starting a fire.
Why is he starting a fire in the back?
It ain't that kind of fire. Go back to your business. Go, hey, put you on cleanup duty.
Though you have walked through challenges and you've walked through days and you've walked through your life wondering if there's ever anything so real as once upon a time and will we ever live happily ever after, let me encourage you with this truth that Christ will never divorce you, he will not leave you, he will not abandon you, he will not fail you. And if that is the kind of love Christ is full of, and I'm asking you, do you want that kind of love and do you want to be full of that love and grace and truth? And if there is someone that you're searching for that is just like Daddy, let me tell you who he is, Jesus Christ. You will never be satisfied and never be fully loved. You will never see rightly until you make him the complete lover of your soul. You have served him for years. You have followed him for years. You've believed in him for years. But yet you've not given him your entire heart. And you have a huge hole in your heart. And you've been wounded and hurt. And you've been unforgiving towards people. And you've been, you name it. Why? Because you've not gotten back to the beginning of it all, and that is the love of Jesus Christ. And until you get that right, as my mother said as a rebellious teen and I was trying to find everything outside my home, she said, son, you learn how to have right relationships at home. And until you realize to love your mother and your father, you will never learn to truly learn how to love others. And if you do not learn how to love Jesus Christ and learn to be loved by him, everything else will be done wrong. Why? Because you've not learned how to love and be loved. You've not learned how to forgive and be forgiven. You've not learned how to honor and be honored. You've not learned how to accept and be accepted. See, all these things have to be done and received. That is Christianity. And when most Christians don't realize who they love and never realize what love is all about and how to live it out, then we walk around like a bunch of hypocrites. Why? Because we're really just as worldly as the world and we have not completely surrendered. So we've not given the world any reason to abandon their walk and follow us. But I'm asking you, would you open your heart again and believe in the reality that you can live happily ever after? Yes. And if you're not there yet, don't abandon the church. Don't abandon us. Why? Jesus never abandoned you. And all you're going to do is walk away and go to some other church. Why? To find out there's more people with more problems. And you know what? You're going to find the same issues in another family. With all due respect to this statement, I don't mean it in any judgment at all. I've journeyed with people that are walking into a third marriage or so forth, and they said, you know, I've been divorced here, divorced here, divorced here, and they're hoping to find a better person. If you've not learned it the first time, you're not going to learn it the third time. If you've not learned it with Christ, you'll never learn it with one another. And if Christ never leaves you and never abandons you and will not leave you, especially in a fire, what is your responsibility? It's not a suggestion. It is a command. And I'm sorry for preaching this way, but when most preachers will not step on toes or tell you, you need to be faithful, I'm telling you, it's easy to walk out. It's easy to abandon. It's easy to leave. And if any of you felt like I was willing to walk out of this church last week, please know I'm a tougher guy than that. Do not misrepresent these tears. These tears have a lot of depth to them. And it's because I am very passionate in the one I love and the people I love. And have I arrived in every aspect? No. I've got to explore my own life. I've got to make right in my own family and my own life. I don't need to give you details. We're not perfect. We're learning. But will you learn together? Will you learn with Christ as our leader and at the helm, guiding us through these tough waters of life? I want to challenge you this week to think on these things. I want to challenge you this week to think about how you can impact this body of believers in a positive way to help chart our course more and more in the realm of truth and grace and love. That's where we're headed. We didn't just come here to take a baton from a pastor of 20 years just to say, let's do the same things over and over and expect different results. We came here to say, God, we will trust you no matter what that is. We will trust you no matter where that is to go. We will trust you no matter who we're trying to reach. And that's inside and outside of the body. Right now in the first service, we have not as many people as you. Now I'm going to challenge you. I've already challenged the worship team. I'm going to challenge you now. I'm going to challenge you if you would be willing to be a missionary in the first service. Why? Because we need to grow. Why? We're anticipating growth. Why? There are more hurting people. And if we were doing everything we needed to be doing, and if we're experiencing all the grace that God has for us, there is not enough churches and room and buildings to build to fit all the people that need to come. So we've got 10 acres. Right now it's just a pretty hill. God has a plan for those 10 acres. God has a plan for this church. Not just to be 100 and happy, not 200 and sassy, but growing, growing, growing. Why? Not just to say numbers are great. Not just to say we got a great pastor. Not to say we got a bad one. To say that we have got a great Lord. Amen. And His name is Jesus. And He is our Savior. And let me tell you why I love Him so much. Now, if this is hard for you and you're struggling and you're kind of like Catherine, well, I need some time. That's okay. You may not buy everything I say today, and that's okay. But let me tell you, what I preach to you, I bathe in prayer. I bathe in lots of time. I bathe what I have prayed over and also what I've been through to some degree. And there have been a few water holes that you're going to that I've been before. So you can trust that God has given you a shepherd under His great shepherdness to lead you in the right way. I want you to know Christ loves you. And if you do not learn anything today, He has forgiven you. All you got to do is accept, agree, and move on. And allow Christ to work in you. Are you ready?
Amen.
All right. Father, we come before you. We thank you for this great love. We thank you for this forgiveness. Help us where we have not forgiven others to make right in our family relationships, in our work relationships, in our friend relationships, and even in our church family relationships. We are a family. Now, Lord, we're one herd, but Lord, you have called us to be that family for you. So, Lord, I pray that you will cause us to become one. Cause us to love each other as you taught us to and you're teaching us to. Help us to walk your ways. Help us to learn how in the days to come. We do love you. In Jesus' mighty name.